Welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. According to S&P Global, 85% of major companies across the world describe themselves as being highly dependent on nature. Nature is intrinsic to supply chains, source materials, and shipping lanes. That's why Esri's Sarah Eschpeter says working with natural systems can deliver less expensive and easy-to-use solutions to maintain businesses in all kinds of terrain.
Nature really isn't a backdrop, it's a business partner. And forward-looking organizations that recognize that are the ones positioning themselves for long-term success.
Sarah Eschpeter explains to Esri's Karen Sullivan how working with natural systems makes it easier to keep a business both thriving and in compliance.
Sarah, hello and welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast.
Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for having me.
When we talk about nature-based solutions, we're talking about strategic thinking. Could you explain that?
Absolutely. Nature-based solutions are really a way of thinking. It's about working with nature to solve challenges, whether that's how we manage land, plan our cities, or even make everyday decisions. And it's not one size fits all. It's more of a mindset in how we integrate natural processes into planning, policy, and everyday decisions. And it really starts with asking, how can nature be a part of the solution?
So that's interesting to think of nature as part of a solution. Could you give me an example of that?
I'm a registered professional forester by training here in British Columbia, so happy to start there. In forestry, we traditionally manage for timber, but more and more we're managing for multiple values at once, like protecting wildlife habitat, reducing wildfire risk, and keeping our water clean. That means thinking more holistically about how nature and everything on the landscape connects, from trees, rivers, roads, and even untouched spaces. In commercial forestry, this might mean leaving more trees to enhance areas around a stream to help protect fish habitat or water quality, or even in the West, planting harvests in a way that help reduce wildfire risks by removing dead trees or excess fuel loads. I think while forestry or natural resources might be sometimes the most obvious starting point for when we think about what nature-based solutions look like, this mindset is really spreading across every corner of the economy. I think a key differentiator to make here is that nature-based solutions aren't just about conservation or sustainability. It's actually about business resilience. It's about managing assets differently, whether those are trees, farmlands, buildings, supply chains, or even investment portfolios.
How would this kind of strategic thinking help, for example, with managing fisheries?
In the context of fisheries, we may think about a nature-based solution for improving fish habitat. So working to install or promote artificial reefs, for example, or keeping stormwater retention in a way that reduces turbidity or the amount of soil you might see in water to help promote water quality and quantity.
Which industries might use nature-based solutions?
Almost all of them. I think most sectors, whether they realize it or not, have some kind of tie, not just to nature, but to natural systems. And this concept of nature-based solutions isn't about just doing something to promote conservation, sustainability, or a feel-good movement. These strategies are actually very essential for business functioning, viability, and even brand reputation.
So brand reputation, what's the relationship there?
I think nature-based solutions really offer a powerful tool for building trust. I think consumers today want transparency. They want to know where their products come from, how they're made, and whether ecosystems were harmed or sustainably managed in a process. So when a company invests in, for example, restoring forests or farmland to support its supply chain, it's not just good stewardship, it's actually a brand differentiator. An example of that might be something like IKEA. Maybe you're shopping for some new furniture and you see a forest sustainability certification like FSC. that may be something that aligns with your core values and offers a differentiator in the new dining table you buy, for example. Those choices may seem maybe a little minor on their own versus when we see these large projects at a corporate or a landscape scale, but collectively they help shift that demand towards these practices that promote ecosystem health and long-term resilience.
Yes, and it's interesting to think that this is not just for businesses, as you said, that we all can choose nature-based solutions by thinking strategically about how we live our lives as well in the most responsible way.
Absolutely. And we even see nature-based solutions go beyond rural landscapes. I know when we think of nature, we immediately think of, let's say, forests or farmlands or untouched areas. But in cities, we actually see nature-based solutions also show up in tangible ways. Maybe think of urban forestry or city planning. We can plant more street trees to cool hot neighborhoods, restore wetlands and parks to manage flooding, or design green roofs or spaces that soak up rain and support pollinators. These are practical choices that improve quality of life, but also help support city management and help our living in a changing world. We even actually see tech companies getting involved in nature-based solutions. That might be something that you wouldn't picture, that such a juxtaposition, right? Technology and nature, but we see companies like Microsoft using spatial data to understand their environmental footprint, and even organizations like Google investing in restoration projects to offset water use or carbon emissions.
What do nature-based solutions offer industries beyond resource management?
Business performance and environmental performance, I think, are really becoming inseparable. Companies are under growing pressure from regulators, investors, insurers, and customers to show how they're managing risks and protecting ecosystems. Now, with regulation, we've got new frameworks in different parts of the world that actually are pushing companies to better understand and disclose how nature affects their bottom line. So if your operations depend on water, forests, or healthy soil, you're now expected to show how you're protecting those assets. And nature-based solutions can be a tangible part of that strategy, something you can map, monitor, and report on. But it's not just about compliance. I think there's actually an aspect of efficiency too. An example of efficiency could be a green roof can reduce building temperatures and cut energy costs, or a restored wetland can filter water naturally, reducing the need for expensive water treatment infrastructure or drainage. Most importantly, I like to think that they're also a powerful tool for trust. We've talked about how consumers today want transparency, and it's really not just good stewardship, it's a brand differentiator. So while nature-based solutions may sound like a conservation or sustainability topic, it's really increasingly a business imperative, helping organizations meet evolving regulations, reduce operational costs, strengthen resilience, and promote brand credibility.
What you're telling us is that businesses fully recognize that now.
Exactly. I think this mindset shift is already well underway. And that's why this concept's showing up in boardrooms, not just sustainability circles or NGOs, because nature really isn't a backdrop. It's a business partner. And forward-looking organizations that recognize that are the ones positioning themselves for long-term success.
Are nature-based solutions really only suited to helping businesses that use natural resources? Is technology more suitable for some?
That's probably the most common thing I hear. Again, it's understandable. When people hear the term nature-based, they often picture forests, farms, or fisheries. But nature-based solutions go far beyond that. They're showing up in industries like retail, finance, and even hospitality. Have you ever been actually to a Fairmont hotel or resort by any chance?
I have not.
Me neither, but I dream of it. But one thing I've heard recently is they're using something called a bee sustainability program at the Fairmont chain, where many of its properties have introduced rooftop gardens, pollinator habitats, and native landscaping. And these features aren't just a sustainability experience. They actually enhance the guest experience and reduce costs for irrigation needs. They support biodiversity and overall support a bit of a brand differentiator. And even in the finance world, we actually now see some insurers underwriting coastal restoration projects because natural buffers help reduce storm damage and ultimately reduce claims. And that's not philanthropy, that's risk management. Nature's not really a niche concern. It's a core part of our business environment. That second misconception around, is technology better or I think more reliable than nature? I believe that's what you were alluding to. And I think this one's common, but really sets up a bit of a false choice. It's not nature versus technology, it's nature and technology. And I think often the most effective solutions blend both. We could think about a farm that uses weather apps or maybe even soil sensors to decide when to plant crops. That technology doesn't replace the natural process. It actually helps time it better so the benefits of soil health and water retention can be maximized. So this concept of nature and technology, they're really not in competition. They're complementary tools. And when we can use them together, we actually get smarter, more resilient solutions that are often more cost-effective and adaptable than either one alone.
And another misconception, that nature-based solutions take too long and cost too much.
Not all of them. Some nature-based solutions actually have immediate impacts. Restoring a wetland, for example, can reduce flood risk just the next time it rains. Planting native vegetation can cool a site or even stabilize soil actually within a single season. And in many cases, nature keeps working long after the initial investment, without the need for constant upgrades or repairs that we might see with traditional infrastructure. And it's also worth remembering, I think that speed isn't the only metric that matters. Longevity, adaptability, and cost effectiveness are just important, and nature tends to outperform on all three. Now, one other component to that misconception is whether they're too expensive or don't generate profit. I think that's a really outdated thinking. We've actually worked with a utility that found that restoring upstream forests, for example, cut costs half as much as building a new water treatment plant and delivered better water quality plus co-benefits like carbon storage and even recreation opportunities in the area. And let's not forget market advantage. Consumers are choosing brands, again, that align with values, and investors are looking for companies that understand climate and nature-related risks. Of course, at the end of the day, businesses need to make money, and nature-based solutions can support that by reducing volatility, helping unlock new revenue streams, and strengthening long-term value.
And at the heart of nature-based solutions is geography. How do these solutions work with geographic information systems, or GIS, to help people think differently about their business or their city?
I think in this context, geography isn't just a backdrop. It's the context that shapes really every decision we make. When it comes to nature-based solutions, geography is often the difference between a good idea and an impactful outcome. That's where, like you said, geographic information systems or GIS comes in. It helps us move from intention to impact. It allows us to see patterns, relationships, and risks that might not be obvious on the surface and allow us to act with precision. Let's say, for example, you're managing a watershed. Imagine you're a company trying to reduce climate risk in your supply chain. GIS can help you identify which facilities might be most exposed to flooding, maybe what suppliers are in the most drought-prone regions, or where biodiversity loss could disrupt operations. That kind of spatial insights turns sustainability from a broad goal into a targeted strategy.
Well, this is a fascinating idea, Sarah, that nature is our partner in business and in life. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. And thanks to Sarah Eschpeter. If you like this episode, please share it with a colleague.